And welcome back. Remember, for more information on the show, you can now like us on Facebook. Simply visit us at Sunday Morning Magazine with Rodney Lear. Go to Facebook there and like us there. On the phone with me now is Kenneth C. Davis. Just in time for President's Day tomorrow, he is the author of the book, Don't Know Much About the President. It's our pleasure to welcome Kenneth C. Davis to Sunday Morning Magazine.
Good morning. Great pleasure to be with you, Rodney.
Now, the nation will celebrate President's Day tomorrow. With your interaction with people, how much do people really know about our U.S. president?
Well, about as much as they know about American history in general, which sadly to say isn't much. You know, we aren't a nation of scholars when it comes to understanding our past. We've all seen these surveys and studies that show that whether they're college kids or high school kids, they all seem to do miserably when it comes to history. And people say the same thing. It's boring. It's all those dates and battles and speeches, and that's too bad, because history, as far as I'm concerned, is really about real people doing real things, and when you present it that way, I find over a long time that people are fascinated by history.
And, Kenneth, believe it or not, history was really one of my favorite subjects in high school, believe
it
or not.
Well, I bet you had a good teacher.
And you know what? And that was going to be my second point. I had a really good teacher that kept us really engaged, Mr. Holland.
Yeah, well, that is pretty much unanimous down the line whenever you talk to somebody who says, oh, I love history. The small percentage who don't talk about a teacher very often talk about their parents, and in my case, that's true. For us growing up, when I was a fairly small kid, summer vacation really meant going to Fort Ticonderoga or Valley Forge or Gettysburg on a camping trip. Mm-hmm. And we always had the sense, certainly I always had the sense, that history isn't something that just happens in books. It's something that happened to real people in real places. And when you bring the human factor and put flesh and blood on these characters that all too often are just, you know, marble statues or the face on the dollar bill, people are so much more interested and find, and they say, gee, why don't they teach us about that in high school? When you hear about the real Abraham Lincoln or the real George Washington or any of the even less famous people in history and what the extraordinary things they accomplish, it makes it real, it makes it human, and we also need to always connect it to what's going on in our world today.
Now let's talk about some of the more fun facts in the book, and we'll start with, which president do you believe that most people seem to know the least about?
Oh, that's pretty easy. There are a lot of really obscure presidents. I suppose most people didn't know much about William Henry Harrison, for instance, because he only lasted in office 30 days. Harrison was the first American president to die in office, and the reason was he gave an inaugural address that ran almost 3 hours long. He was standing out in the wet and in the cold for 3 hours without a hat on, apparently caught cold, turned into pneumonia, and he died 30 days later, the first American president to die in office. Some of the other obscure presidents, you know, Millard Fillmore and Buchanan. Buchanan, maybe people have heard, because he is the president who preceded Lincoln, and he's usually listed as the worst American president ever, largely because he did absolutely nothing to prevent or forestall the American Civil War. In fact, some of the things he did may have hastened it.
Now, you know the answers to these questions. Let's talk about some quirky fun facts. Now, did George Washington, did he really chop down the cherry tree?
No, I'm afraid that's one of the myths of history. That was a story completely fabricated after Washington's death by a man who passed himself off as a intimate of George Washington. His name was Parson Weems. This is a story that he wrote. He was writing a children's book that was supposed to have moral stories as well as teach history and reading, and so he wanted to present George Washington as this pure character who would never tell a lie. And by all accounts, Washington was a very honest man, but this story never happened.
Okay, now where in the White House did William Howard Taft get stuck?
It was Taft who got stuck in the bathtub.
Stuck in the bathtub.
And that was because William Howard Taft was our largest president in terms of his size. He would have been a candidate for the Biggest Loser. He was well over 300 pounds, and he did get stuck in the White House bathtub, according to the accounts of the time. One of the interesting things about Taft is, of course, he followed Theodore Roosevelt, one of the most popular and extraordinary presidents in the White House. And for a long time, people believed that Taft really stood for take advice from Teddy, T-A-F-T. But that's not the case.
All right. Now, let me ask you this. Presidential nicknames. Which presidents had the funniest nicknames?
Oh, gosh. There are some interesting ones. Of course, we probably heard of Old Tippy Canoe, but most people wouldn't know that that's the William Henry Harrison I mentioned a few minutes ago, and that was because he had, as a soldier, fought the Battle of Tippecanoe against the great Indian Native American leader Tecumseh, and that was his real claim to fame. One of the interesting First Lady nicknames that comes to mind as they ask about that is Lemonade Lucy. That's Mrs. Hayes, Lucy Hayes. She was known as Lemonade Lucy because she wouldn't serve any alcohol at the White House, but only serve punch or lemonade.
All right. And again, in case you're just tuning in, you're listening to Sunday Morning Magazine. I'm Rodney Lear, joined over the phone this morning by Kenneth C. Davis. He's the author of the book, Don't Know Much About Presidents. Now tell me, who was the tallest, the youngest, and the oldest president?
Okay, the tallest is no surprise to most people. Abraham Lincoln remains our tallest president at 6 feet 4 inches, even without that stovepipe hat on. Barack Obama is a tad under 6'2", so a lot of people think he's another tall man, and he certainly is, but not as tall as Lincoln. Of course, both are tall, lanky lawyers from Illinois, and the oldest elected to serve was Ronald Reagan, both oldest when he was elected for the first time and the second time. I think the other one you asked about was the youngest, and
correct,
that's an interesting one because the youngest, many people think John F. Kennedy, but actually it's Teddy Roosevelt who was the youngest to take office. Teddy Roosevelt took over when McKinley was assassinated in 1901. He was only 41 years old at the time. Of course, the Constitution only requires you be 35. The youngest elected president is John F. Kennedy.
All right.
Again, Barack Obama, by the way, is fifth on the list. There are four other presidents who are younger.
So you just mentioned Obama. Give us some facts about former President Obama.
He is, of course, our first African-American president, but it's also appropriate to say he's our first biracial president in actuality because, of course, his mother was white and his father was black from Kenya. Of course, born in Hawaii, the first American president to be born in Hawaii. That's an interesting fact. The youngest state produces a president. I also write in this new book, Don't Know Much About the Presidents, of the promise that he made to his wife while he was running, and it's apparently a promise that's been a little bit difficult to keep, but he did promise he was going to stop smoking as he ran for president, and by all accounts, he occasionally seems to fall off the wagon, although I'm sure he's working very hard on that.
Okay, and let me ask you this, because I think some people thought, now that was a personal goal. It has nothing to do with any requirements for presidency.
Oh, absolutely not, although you can't smoke in the White House. It's a smoke-free environment. So like a lot of people in America, I guess if a president does smoke, he's going to have to step outside the Oval Office and do it. But of course, there have been many presidents in history who have smoked, but in recent years, even those presidents who do smoke have really kept it off camera. I think the last president who, you know, was openly holding a cigarette was FDR, who kept his cigarette in that jaunty holder, which is, you know, kind of bygone piece of thing, a cigarette holder. And you often see a picture of him with the cigarette sticking out of the cigarette holder held in the corner of his mouth.
Now, very briefly, let's talk about First Ladies. How have First Ladies helped shape America?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. And they've many have had a different view of the White House and or being First Lady. Martha Washington, our first First Lady, hated the roles. She said when she wrote to a friend, she wasn't, of course, in the White House, but being the president's wife was like being in prison to her, and she couldn't wait to get back to her home in Virginia. Then there's at the other end of the spectrum, and Eleanor Roosevelt, who really saw being First Lady as a way to really make changes in the country. So somewhere in between Martha Washington hating it and Eleanor Roosevelt transforming the first lady's role. Most first ladies try and find a place that they fit in. Of course, Mrs. Kennedy transformed the first lady's role into a style maker and a fashionable person, and that had a great impact on the country. So each first lady has brought a little bit of her own personal flavor to it, but they are much more visible now, certainly, than they used to be 100 years ago.
And again, in case you're just tuning in, you're listening to Sunday Morning Magazine. I'm Rodney Lear on the phone this morning with Kenneth C. Davis. The title of the book is Don't Know Much About Presidents. Now, what are some of the biggest myths surrounding the U.S. presidency?
Well, you know, they're probably, if you talk about myths, you're talking about specific myths about specific presidents. And we mentioned George Washington and the cherry tree. That's obviously a myth. A lot of people misunderstand when it comes to Abraham Lincoln, which is appropriate on President's Day, that he actually freed the slaves. He did not. The Emancipation Proclamation, it was announced in 1863, really only affected slaves that were outside of the control of the federal government at that time, the slaves in the Confederacy. The slaves were not truly freed in America until the passage of the 13th Amendment, which came after Lincoln's assassination while Andrew Johnson was the president. So a lot of people misunderstand, you know, that certainly Lincoln was the great emancipator in the sense he made this great announcement and changed the whole psychology and this, what the war was being fought about. But he didn't actually free any slaves in his own administration.
Any other big myths?
The one that also pops into my mind is the myth that, and I guess it speaks to what the president is, that the president is only as powerful as he can get Congress to go along with him. So it's always been a question of being able to swing a big stick, as Teddy Roosevelt said. If you have the influence over Congress, or you have the people behind you in such a way that they're going to get Congress to do what you like. I suppose the other thing that comes to mind is that you know, presidents are all good and wise and humble. John Adams wrote that at the White House, he prayed that only wise and gentle and humble people would live in this house, meaning the White House, and we know that probably hasn't been completely true.
All right, and with that, we're out of time this morning. I really enjoyed talking to you this morning. A lot of quirky, fun facts about our president.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a great pleasure, and again, this stuff can be a lot of fun if we learn it together.
All right, and if our listeners would like to find out more about you, Kenneth C. Davis, or if they would like to get a copy of the book, how can they do so, and how can they find out more about you?
You can go to my website, which is don'tknowmuch.com. That's all one word, and I don't sell anything there. You just find out more about me and my books for adults and for children.
All right, thanks for taking time to talk to us.
Thank you so much.
We've been talking to Kenneth C. Davis. The title of the book is Don't Know Much About the Presidents. We'll be back with more Sunday Morning Magazine right after this.
Listen to Sunday Morning Magazine no matter what day it is. Use your favorite podcast app and subscribe to Sunday Morning Magazine with Rodney Lear today.